When I sat in the congregation this morning, I was listening to the sermon. My mind was going very similar on a lot of his thoughts. I talked to Kim's Sunday school class last Sunday about the importance of becoming knowledgeable of current events, because God's hand is moving all over this world, not just here in the Phoenix local, not just in the little tiny Church of Christ, but throughout the world to bring about his goals and his means. And our brother's sermon echoes that. And I'm hoping that the kids from that Sunday school class are paying attention to the importance of knowing what's going on in the world so you can see God's movements. And I was also wondering, is he getting closer to the time? I go, how's he going to wrap this up? Because I couldn't see how he could do it in 10 or 15 minutes. I don't know if he can do it in the next hour. So I will give you our speaker of the hour, and I hope you're paying attention to what he has to deliver to us. Brother Gordon.
Thank you, Brother Jim, and quite frankly, I really can't. All right, this is a continuation of this morning. I thank Jim for his time that he was scheduled to preach this evening. I'm glad we're on the same wavelength. All right, this morning, America needs to repent. And specifically, because the Lord is going to make bare his arm in all the eyes of the nations. He's going to do that. One way or the other, his will be done. I do have a lot of scriptures. I'm going to try and not overwhelm you with the scriptures. I want to be able to give you some key scriptures that you can use as I cover this subject. I want you to be able to take some things home with you. I want you to be able to study them and open your eyes and ears as to those things that are going on around you. And look at the scriptures in that kind of a light. Remember, the Lord, when he was talking to his disciples in Jerusalem before his death and resurrection, he said, you know, I call you my friends. He said, you know, and the reason why he said that, because he said, I've told you all things the Father has told me. And that's why I call you friends. If you were not my friend, then I'm not gonna confide in you. And he did. He confided in his disciples. And then in John in the 14th chapter, he talks about that he was going to give, he was going to ask the Father for the Comforter, that we might not be orphaned. And it's very important because it is that Spirit that is going to help sustain us in these last days, because he's going to be there to be our comfort. He's going to be there to help us to see these things as they come to pass and to relate those things, the plan of God, to us in our understanding. He will bring that understanding to us. And if we don't have the Spirit of God working with us in our heart and in our lives, we're going to miss the boat like the whole world. That differentiates us from the world, is the Spirit of God working in us according to our faith. And it's important that we have that and we exercise it in our life so that we might understand these things that are going to take place. When I had rehearsed to you in the first book of Nephi, in the 7th chapter, that plan of God, verses 21 through 25, and I'll rehearse it again. It's on page 74. It says, and I would, my brethren, that ye should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. That means that without this thing that God is going to do in these last days, all the nations of the world, there won't be that blessing. Wherefore, the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations and bring in about his covenants and his gospel unto those who are the house of Israel. Wherefore, he will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the lands of their inheritance. And they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness, and they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And quite frankly, this is that that bringing Israel out of obscurity is that that act that God is going to do in these last days, which goes all the way back to the promise of Abraham, when he promised that his seed would be that he would covenant with Abraham, and that covenant would be an everlasting covenant, and those who would keep the commandments of God would be part of that covenant, and that includes you and I. Anyone who will accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, the doctrine that is taught of Jesus Christ in these days, and is baptized, repent and is baptized, will be part, and endure to them will be part of that covenant. The Book of Mormon, how God is going to bring, make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations, one of them was the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. Now, the seventh chapter of 1 Nephi, this whole chapter is well worth reading and studying. It's all, like I said this morning, it's only a couple of, you know, four or five pages, but it has a lot of information that it pertains, it paints a complete picture of how God is going to make bare his arm to all the nations. And then you can go throughout the scripture and then put it all together as to supporting the evidence of that, of our brother Nephi, as he had seen here. And I had that understanding from the plates of brass and those things that God revealed to him. So in the 15th verse and 17th verse of the seventh chapter, the Book of Mormon comes forth. Here it says, And it meaneth that the time cometh that after all the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land, and by them shall our seed be scattered. And after our seed is scattered, the Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be of great worth unto our seed. And that's part of that making bare his arm before all the nations, is bringing forth the Book of Mormon, and tying the testimony of the Bible and the works of Jesus Christ here on earth that was recorded in the Scripture and the Bible, with his covenant people who experienced the similar things when Christ was there with him and taught. We find in the Book of Commandments, remember I had listed six things this morning, how the Lord was going to make bare his arm. One was the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. The next thing was the gospel restored and his church is established upon the earth. I'm going to go to the Book of Commandments because that would be the testimony of what took place. And you should be familiar with it. It's in the first chapter and it's verses 4 and 5. This whole first chapter of the Book of Commandments talks about and reveals the will of God in these last days concerning the restoration of the church and it being established on the earth. Here in the fourth verse, that's on page 4, it says, "Wherefore I, the Lord, knowing the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph and spake unto him from heaven and gave him commandments, and also gave commandments to others that they should proclaim these things unto the world, and all this that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophets, the weak things of the world should come forth and break down the mighty and the strong ones. That man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God, the Lord, even the Savior of the world. That faith also might increase in the earth, that mine everlasting covenant might be established, that the fullness of the gospel might be proclaimed by the weak and the simple unto the ends of the world and before kings and rulers." Think about that. This tiny, obscure church established by Christ here on earth, going into the world and standing before dignitaries and rulers, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. "Behold, I am God, and I have spoken it. These commandments are of me, and were given unto my servants in their weakness." I want you to pay attention to the next few words, because I know when I was introduced to the Book of Mormon by my grandmother when I was a young, a young lad, and my mother. But my grandmother was the one who was the spiritual leader in our family. And I remember there was a time that in my life that, you know, I accepted the things that I was told. But the problem is, there comes, once you accept those things, there comes the trial of your faith, you know. And that trial came when I went into the military. And I was basing my faith on things that people had said, not by the things completely convicted and understood and be able to verse from the scripture. And so when I was confronted with these things about these failings or these failures, human failures, frailties, maybe I would say, of Joseph Smith and some of those who were part of the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, their weaknesses, like what he's going to talk about here. You know, my faith was shaken a little bit. And I had to hearken back to my original conviction that when I was younger, I believed the words that were in here. And I knew they were true. And no one could take that conviction from me. But somehow I needed to understand and tie the other to it, because I could see the weaknesses of man. That was part of it, you know. And it took a while to do that. But God helped me to bring that together. And really, I'm going to read some things here that will help you as well, you young people, if you have those same questions. He says, "Behold, I am God and have spoken it. These commandments are of me and were given unto my servants in their weakness, after the manner of their language, that they might come to understanding. And inasmuch as they erred," and they erred, "it might be made known." And it was made known, not only to the church, but the whole world. And they used that against us, against the gospel of Jesus Christ today. "And inasmuch as they sought wisdom, they might be instructed." And they were instructed of God. And they were the instruments in the hands of God to establish the Church of Christ in these last days and the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. "That they may be instructed, and inasmuch as they sinned, they might be chastened," which again was well known and well, you can read about it, "that they might repent, and inasmuch as they were humble, they might be made strong and blessed from on high and receive knowledge from time to time." And that has been our history in the Church of Christ from the very inception. "And after they, having received the record of the Nephites, yea, even my servant Joseph, might have power to translate through the mercy of God, by the power of God, the Book of Mormon, and also those to whom these commandments were given, might have power to lay the foundation of this church and to bring it forth out of obscurity," okay, because it was obscured by the churches of the day, "and out of darkness, the only," and you can, when you get your Book of Commandments, I want you to underline this and I want you to highlight it, "the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth." There's no ifs, ands, or buts. "With which I, the Lord, am well pleased," speaking unto the church collectively, quantifying what he said, the church as a whole, he is pleased. Individuals, if you're struggling or whatever, he may not be pleased with you. He may not be pleased with me on an individual basis, but he is pleased with the church that he has established collectively. "For I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repenteth and doeth the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven, and he that repenteth not from him shall be taken even the light which he hath received. For my spirit shall not always strive with man, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, all these things that were stated there, you can find them scripturally. And I know probably in your mind you're going, "Oh yeah, I remember reading that here, or I remember reading that there." And I would suggest you put them there in your scripture so that you can reference back to that. But anyhow, that is the establishment of the Book of Mormon and how it came about in its weakness. And that was part of how God made bare his arm in the eyes of the nation. That's part. And then the gospel was restored. Then the restored gospel was to go forth to the Gentiles. Now let's go over into the Book of Mormon, the first Nephi, in the third chapter. This morning you got away kind of easy because I didn't have a whole bunch of scriptures. Well, I have a bunch now, and I want you to write them down and keep them for your reference. So 1 Nephi in the third chapter, we're going to go to a familiar scripture here. And that's on page 37. And I want to read verses 183 through 187. Again, this should be a very familiar scripture with you that you have heard. Verse 183, "And after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed," that would be the Lamanites, "that they shall write many things," and the Nephites will write many things, "which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious, and after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren. Behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written, my gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock, and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost." And this isn't the only place that is said. That is the promise that comes to you and I in the body of Christ in these last days, that gift and power of the Holy Ghost, working with the church in that endeavor of fulfilling the will of God by making bare his arm to all the nations. Then if you go over to the next page, it's going to speak directly to us on page 38, verse 201. Here you find it says, "And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, that he shall manifest himself unto them in word and also in power, in very deed, unto the taking away of their stumbling blocks, and harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. Yea, they shall be numbered among the house of Israel, and they shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever." So you're a part of that. You're a part of that covenant that was given to Abraham. You're an adopted heir to the kingdom of God. That covenant long ago, almost 3,000 years, more than 3,000 years ago. We're talking about something that God did with a man over 3,000 years or more when he made that covenant with Abraham and with the people. And it's been passed on to you. And you have that if you're following the commandments of God. And it's with you today. But with that, we find that there's a woe that comes with that promise if we choose not to heed that. We can drop down to verse 213 on that same page, at page 39, where it says, "Therefore, woe be unto the Gentiles, if it so be that they harden their hearts against the Lamb of God." And that's what I was talking about this morning, that America needs to repent. Because truly, this nation has hardened their hearts against the Lamb of God. They don't want to hear it. Many of them don't want to hear it. They reject it. They reject it as foolishness. Or they reject it as something foreign that is not something that they're used to hearing like they have heard from other churches. They don't fully understand it. Why? Remember what I said? The gift of the Holy Ghost. They don't have it active in their life. And they don't understand when truth is at their door. A work which shall be everlasting, either on the one hand or the other, Underline that in your Book of Mormons. A work on the one hand or the other. You know, he told Peter, he says, I give you the keys to the heaven. So whatever you bound on earth is going to be bound in heaven. And so when they were able to baptize individuals during that time, they entered into that covenant. It was bound on earth. It was bound in heaven. They had the power and the gift that was given of them of God. And that same power and authority, the same keys, Jim and Hubert and I and all the ministry, we have that keys that we might, on the one hand or the other, depending on how it's received, as we give our message to the world. Either to the convincing of them unto peace and life eternal, or unto the deliverance of them to the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, unto the being brought down into captivity, and also unto destruction, both temporally and spiritually, according to the captivity of the devil of which I have spoken. America needs to repent, because they are on that road to destruction. There's also, with that same theme, the Gentiles reject the restored gospel. Let's go to 3 Nephi in the 9th chapter. Let's read a few verses there. Verses 65 through 73. That's on page 660. Again, this should paint a picture for you. You should be able to reflect upon the history that you know of this nation and the words that are written here in the scripture, and to be able to understand those things as you apply that understanding according to the Spirit that's within you. Verse 65, and after that ye were blessed, then fulfilled the Father the covenant which he made with Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, unto the pouring out of the Holy Ghost through me upon the Gentiles. That gift and promise came to us. Which blessings upon the Gentiles shall make them mighty above all, unto the scattering of my people, O house of Israel. And they shall be a scourge unto the people of this land. Nevertheless, when they shall have received the fullness of my gospel, then, if they shall harden their hearts against me, I will return their iniquities upon their own heads, saith the Father. America needs to repent. And I remember the covenant which I have made with my people. I have covenanted with them that I would gather them together in mine own due time, that I would give unto them again the land of their fathers for their inheritance, which is the land of Jerusalem, which is the promised land unto them forever, saith the Father. Now, I am going to stop there. Because what does it say up here? You remember it said that if the fullness of the gospel, if it's rejected in their hearts, I will return their iniquities upon their own head, and I will remember the covenant which I have made with my people. All right, now let's revisit history and see where we're at in this picture, this timetable that God has provided to us through his servant, okay? So, I will remember the covenant which I have made with my people, and I have covenanted with them that I would gather them together in mine own due time, that I would give unto them again the land of their fathers. Okay, when did that happen? Remember I said it this morning. At first, it was in 1948, wasn't it? It was when our president and Truman and the United Kingdom helped Israel get reestablished in their homelands for the first time since the time they were expelled in 587 B.C. So that this promise was already being fulfilled. Why? Because it was in the timetable of God, but also that the Gentiles were rejecting the fullness of the gospel. That was the criteria that we read in verse 65 or 66. Nevertheless, when they shall have received the fullness of the gospel, then if they shall harden their hearts against it, I will return their iniquities upon their own heads, for the sake of the Father, and I will remember the covenant. He started to remember the covenant. So he started that process. Why? Because America was turning their back on God. So that process started. And then I know you've heard plenty of sermons about 1967, the Six-Day War. That solidified it. You can find that in Luke in the 21st chapter. That was when Israel said, I am claiming Jerusalem. That's my capital. The world, I don't care what you say, that's my homeland. And it's ours, and we're going to keep it. So on the timetable of God, who's exposed here? The Gentiles, who have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's already started. And it shall come to pass that the time cometh when the fullness of my gospel shall be preached unto them, and they shall believe in me that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and shall pray unto the Father in my name. That's speaking of the house of Israel. So in 1951, what happened in 1951? We're pretty familiar with it here in this church, this local. 1951. That's when the gospel went to the remnant of the house of Israel there. And what happened? The king, the last Mayan descendant of the king, stood up and said, that is our record. The timetable of God. The Gentiles had rejected it. And this all flows within that time frame, that era of time when the Gentiles will reject the fullness of the gospel, and God is turning his eyes to Israel and making bare his arms. And the mission of us, the first mission was to the Gentiles that would hear in the 1830s. And then it was rejected of the Gentiles, and now it's going to the house of Israel. And then now they're going to start quoting Isaiah. Then shall their watchmen lift up their voices. This is verse 70. And with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. Then will the Father gather them together again and give unto them, what? Jerusalem. For the land of their inheritance. Well, how about that? It's been in our lifetimes. You've seen this fulfilled. Then shall they break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Father hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Father hath made bare, what? His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Father, and the Father and I are one. There's no disputing that there's a lot of nations over there grinding their teeth because Israel occupies Jerusalem. And they just can't stand it. But they will have no power over Israel concerning that. The fifth one, restored gospel goes forth unto all the nations. That there's two places that you could use. You could use the one that's in Matthew in the 24th chapter. That's a very familiar one there in the 14th verse. 24:14. It's the words of Christ. And he says, and this gospel of the kingdom, and I know you've heard it time. In fact, the last time I think Brian was up here, he quoted this verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. That is our call our calling from God. In your ministry and your missionaries, take that a very serious calling in these last days. The other place where you can go and read that, and it's in the Book of Mormon, it's in 1 Nephi in the 3rd chapter. You can go there. And let's see, we'll go to verse 191. And read down to verse 200. And after it had come forth unto them, I beheld other books. Maybe I should back up here. I've got a few minutes. Here in verse, this thought starts on verse 190. That's on page 137. Now, I want you to follow with me on this so you'll understand what he's saying. Here in verse 190, it says, "And it came to pass that I beheld the remnant of the seed of my brethren." So you can write in your Book of Mormons, that's the Lamanites, all right? That's the remnant of the seed of my brethren. The author, Nephi, was speaking. And also the Book of the Lamb. Which one is that? That's the Bible, right? So you have the two right there in verse 190. Okay? "Which had proceeded forth from the mouth of the Jew, that it came forth from the Gentiles unto the remnant of the seed of my brethren." So it's speaking of two different records, the Lamanite record, or the Nephite record, and the Bible. And then it goes on in 191, it says, "And after it had come forth unto them, I beheld other books, which came forth by the power of the Lamb from the Gentiles unto them, unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the Jews who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the records of the prophets and the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true." Now, you got to remember that when they were writing this, okay, the record of the Nephite record, what did they have? They had the brass plates, right? And the brass plates were what? Huh? Yeah, 5 books of Moses. And those things, actually, it says from the beginning of time up, but it is. Yes, it did. It also had the lineage of Lehi and his family, but all the workings of God with that. So it was really something kind of like the Bible, but it was in more detail because they had a knowledge from the very beginning, and it was in its purity up to that time. And so the other thing was the records that Nephi was making, right? And so when it says other books, they had the prophet of Zenos. They had, they had these other gold plates that came from, eventually it came from the Jaredites, and what else? There were some other records that they had, but thank you. Yes. So they had several different records, and this is what it's talking about, these other books. And so what we have here is an abridgment of all those books, okay? Because that's what Mormon said. He said, "I'm going to make an abridgment of these things." And so that's what it's talking about. This is the abridgment of those records that we have. Now, is it all? No, because the Lord told Mormon, what? Well, you can't, Mormon and Moroni, I don't want you to include everything, even Jared, the brother of Jared. He said, "I don't want you to include all these things. It's only going to come forth only when mankind exercise faith and in my purposes, then it will come forth." But anyhow, these are some of the other books. It was really the Book of Mormon is a compilation of the abridgment of some of these books that were going to come forth. "And the angel spake unto me, saying, These last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first." Now that is the mission of the Book of Mormon. So you got to look at it in that text that they're talking about, that abridgment of those other books, okay? Which is what we have here today is the Book of Mormon, which is going to establish the truth of the first, or Christ's record that we find in the Bible, right? That's what was supposed to come forth, okay? "And which are of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall be made known, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them, and shall make known to all nations and kindred and tongues and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him or they cannot be saved. There is no other way. There's only one way, and that is God's way. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb, and the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wherefore they both shall be established in one, for there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. So bringing those two records together, that is how God is making bare his arm in the eyes of all the nation. One of those things, okay, is these records. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles. And after he has manifested himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also unto the Jews. So we're in that fourth part. He is having us manifest those things unto the Jews because of that timetable that I was talking about earlier that we saw in the scripture. We're in that last part, that last quarter. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. It shall come to pass that if the Gentiles, well, I should hold off on that. Oh, I'll read that a little later. So, the restored gospel goes forth unto all the nations. There's a couple of scripture references for you. There's plenty of more, but those are pretty good ones that you can write and keep for your use. And the restored gospel is used to bring Israel out of obscurity and darkness. Remember, I read that these records were going to help them with that. But there's another verse of scripture that I want to take you to that talks about that a little bit more. And that's in the first book of Nephi, and that's in the fourth chapter, just a couple of pages over from where we're at there. There in the fourth chapter, we find Nephi continues to be teaching. And this will pick up here in the 16th verse. That's on page 44. And let's see here. It says, and now the thing which our father meaneth. Now he's trying to explain these things to his brethren and those who are asking him questions. Now the thing which our father meaneth concerning the grafting in of the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentiles is that in the latter days when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations, after the Messiah shall be manifested in body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. And at that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are the house of Israel, and that they are the covenant people of the Lord. And that started there in Yucatan in 1951. And then with the testimony of the descendant of the last king. And then shall they know and come to the knowledge of their forefathers and also the knowledge of the gospel of their Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by him. Wherefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer and the very points of his doctrine, that they may know how to come unto him and be saved. Now, our work is ahead of us. And the power of God is going to have to be with us because Israel does not recognize as a whole Jesus Christ, nor those points. They're still hearkening back to the law of Moses. They're not, and they have missed that understanding. But it's said that they are going to be given an opportunity to know and understand the very points that they may know how to come unto him and be saved. Because in their mind, they are not there yet. And then at that day, they will not rejoice and give praise unto their everlasting God, their rock, their salvation? Yea, at that day will they not receive the strength and nourishment from the true vine? Yea, will they not come unto the true fold of God? Behold, I say unto you, yea, they shall be remembered again. They will be remembered again among the house of Israel. And really, our brothers and sisters in Yucatan, they have that affinity of their ancestors. and they shall be grafted in, being a natural branch of the olive tree, into the true olive tree. And this is what our Father meaneth. And he meaneth that it will not come to pass until after they are scattered by the Gentiles. And he meaneth that it shall come by way of the Gentiles, and that the Lord may show his power unto the Gentiles for the very cause that he shall be rejected of the Jews or the house of Israel. Wherefore our Father hath not spoken of our seed alone, but also all the house of Israel, pointing to the covenant which should be fulfilled in the latter days, which covenant the Lord made to our father Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Verse 33, and it says, after they were restored, they shall no more be confounded, neither should they be scattered again. So that's the promise of Israel there in Jerusalem and also in where they're at, established. Now, the next thing is, there's another one, and that's in the third book of Nephi in the 9th chapter. Let's go there real quick. And I've got a couple more scripture verses, and then I'm going to bring it to an end. Here in 3 Nephi in the 9th chapter, on page, we'll start on page 662. This is verse 85. Because this is another one of those keys. The restored gospel is used to bring Israel out of obscurity and darkness. And you can use this. Then shall this covenant, which the Father have covenanted with his people, be fulfilled. And then shall Jerusalem be inhabited again with my people. And that shall be the land of their inheritance. And verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign, that ye may know the time when these things shall be about to take place, that I shall gather in from their long dispersion my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion. Behold, this is the thing which I give unto you for a sign. For verily I say unto you that when these things which I declare unto you, and which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself, and by the power of the Holy Ghost which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto you, unto the Gentiles, that they may know concerning this people who are the remnant of the house of Jacob, and concerning this people who shall be scattered by them. Speaking of the remnant, or the Lamanites, and also the American Indian, as we know. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, and shall come forth of the Father from them unto you, for it is wisdom in the Father that shall be established in this land, and be set up as a free people, speaking of America, by the power of the Father, that these things might come forth from them unto the remnant of your seed, that the covenant of the Father may be fulfilled, which he hath covenanted with his people, O house of Israel. Therefore, when these works and the work which shall be wrought among you hereafter shall come forth from the Gentiles unto your seed, which shall dwindle in unbelief because of iniquity. For thus it behooveth the Father that it come from the Gentiles, that he may show his power unto the Gentiles for this cause, that the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me and be baptized in my name and know of the true points of my doctrine, that they may be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And when these things come to pass, that thy seed shall begin to know these things, it shall be a sign unto them, that they may know that the work of the Father hath already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenant which he hath made unto the people who are the house of Israel. And when that day shall come, it shall come to pass that kings shall shut their mouths, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which had not been heard shall they consider. For in that day, for my sake, shall the Father work a work, which shall be a great and marvelous work among them. I'm going to stop there. So the restored gospel is brought to Israel and helping them to come out of that obscurity of not knowing who they are and who what their lineage is. And the warning comes to us, the Gentiles. In the book of Ether, in the first chapter, you can read in verses 34 through 35, the Lord says, "This cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent." And then if you read in the third book of Ether, you find there in 96th verse through the 102nd verse, you find that the enemy of all enemies is seeking to overthrow the freedoms of our land, no different than it did during the days of Coriantumr. As you can read in the book of Ether, those same secret combinations that bind people down and take away their freedoms. Some of the things that we were talking about this morning. These backdoor promises and things that are only for people to get gain over you and I. Those are those secret combinations, and they build from there. And it comes from Satan himself to destroy nations. So that's why in Mormon, in the second chapter, he says, "O ye Gentiles, how can you stand before the power of God except ye shall repent and turn from your evil ways?" Again, we got to remember that if the Gentiles repent, they shall be numbered among the people of the house of Israel. One of the things I want to leave with you tonight, and we can go back to that seventh chapter of 1 Nephi. Again, I would implore you to read that chapter and study it. Consider these things that I've said, because it is a roadmap of the Lord's work in these last days. Here in verse 28 through 30, the promise to those who fight against Israel, like the Palestinians and Hamas and whoever else that is who is targeting Israel as they know him today. It says here in verse 28, it says, "And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another." And we're seeing it today. We see Iran and Iraq fighting each other. We find the Arabs. They're in Afghanistan, the different ones they're fighting, infighting, and they don't agree. Hamas and the different ones, they all fight within themselves. That's the only reason why they haven't accomplished anything. It's because they're always infighting, always struggling, power struggles within, those kinds of things. And they shall fall into the pit, which they digged to ensnare the people of the Lord. That is the promise. And all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. And one last scripture verse I want to leave with you, and I consider us as those who have chosen those righteous ways of God and part of the adopted heir of Israel, this promise goes to us. Here in verse 36, "Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it be so that the fullness of his wrath must come and the righteousness be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And it must needs be upon the face of this earth, and it cometh unto men according to the flesh, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. For behold, the righteous shall not perish, for the time surely must come that all they who fight against Zion shall be cut off, period. That's the promise of God. This is a, there are plenty of other scriptures that I could have brought to you, but really I wanted to tie it to our mission as a church, to what you're seeing that's going on in your nation today. America needs to repent, or it will be destroyed. But you and I, of the covenant, will be protected. And you need to remember that through all this that's going on. Will there be those that will be, some of us that will die? Yes. As the scripture says, the Lord says, I will not have their cries come to me from the grave in vain. I will destroy and avenge them with my holy power and authority. So the promise is to those who are, who have repented and are following the commandments of God and are part of the covenant in these last days. May God be with you in that endeavor.